Happy Mother's Day to the mothers. Sarah and Kristen, this is the first Mother's Day with babe in arms, right? Well, that's special. So happy Mother's Day. All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I just want to begin in verse 16. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and I'm going to come up to this point because I want you to make a connection here. And I'm pretty much just going to read some scriptures and give some exposition on this. See how far we get. I hope we can get to the end of chapter 5, but we'll see. Verse 16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Now go back with me to Galatians 3. I want you to make a connection here. You know, Paul, he'll say something, he'll write something, and then he'll go and talk about something he said for two or three pages, and he'll come back to what he said, what he had read. Now look where he started here in Galatians 3, verse 1. He said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" He's going to talk about a lust of the flesh being witchcraft. Rebellion is as witchcraft. He says here, "Who hath bewitched you that you shall not obey the truth?" See, they had rebelled. They weren't obeying the truth. What's the truth? "Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you." He's the truth. Christ is the truth. And Christ, through the gospel being preached, had been, the Spirit had given them such a clear view of Christ by faith that it was just like Christ was crucified right there in Galatia, right before them. They saw him. They saw him. And he says now, verse 2, "This only would I learn of you." Now, did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The Spirit of God was given to you. Was it by hearing the works the law preached, or was it by hearing of Christ's faithfulness preached? How was the Spirit ministered to you? It was by hearing the gospel of Christ and his faithfulness. Now look at the next verse. He says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you now going to go to maturity by your strength and by your will and by your works and by you mortifying your flesh? You're going to go to maturity and grow up that way? You began in the Spirit. Spirit of God created a new man in you. Spirit of God gave you faith and repentance and all the fruit of the Spirit. Spirit of God mortified your flesh, freed you from the dominion of your sin nature, all through the hearing of the gospel of Christ. Now that you've been called to liberty, are you made perfect? You're going to be grown up into Christ now by looking at your flesh and minding the things of the flesh, minding the law, minding your works, minding what you need to be doing and not doing, touch not, taste not. That's how you're going to be matured. Verse 4, "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore, Christ Jesus, that ministered to you the Spirit and works miracles among you," he sent the Spirit to you, he worked these miracles, he created life in you through the Spirit. He's the head of the church. From him all the joints have nourishment ministered from the head, just like the body throughout the members of the body. He ministered the Spirit. And he gave you life, and he gave you faith and repentance and love and joy and peace. He gave it to you. It's fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. And he called you to liberty from bondage. He called you out of the bondage of the law, showed you he had redeemed you. He called his people from the bondage of our sin nature by the Spirit of God taking dominion. And he produced this fruit in you. Did he do it by the works of the law? By hearing the works of the law priest, or by hearing of faith, hearing of his mighty works, hearing that he does this work? Which way did he do it? By hearing what you need to be doing, or hearing what he did? He did it by hearing of him, by hearing of what Christ did. Go to Galatians 5 now, verse 7. Now look, he says, he talked about how they began. Now he says here in verse 7, "You did run well. You began walking in the Spirit, and you were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Who beguiled you so that you went into this witchcraft and stopped obeying the gospel? This persuasion didn't come of Christ that called you." It didn't come of the one who originally sent you the Spirit and called you. This is leaven, he said. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Remember, Paul said over in Colossians 2, he said, men that aren't beholding the head, they don't have this nourishment ministered, they're puffed up by their carnal knowledge. That's what leaven does. This leaven had entered in, telling them to mind the things of the flesh, to mind the law and to mind the letter of the word and mind their works and mind what they do. And that's minding the things of the flesh. The carnal mind minds the things of the flesh. The spiritual man minds the things of the Spirit. The Spirit's been given to us that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And it's through that message the Spirit works and strengthens the inward man and makes you worship and rejoice in Christ and mortify the flesh. He says, I'm trusting here, I have confidence, verse 10, in you through the Lord that you'll be none otherwise minded. That He'll make you spiritually minded. That He'll make you mind the things of the Spirit, mind the things that are freely given to you of God. Set your affection on Christ above. Now look at verse 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. You've begun. You started this race by the Spirit through the gospel. You were running well in it. Only use not this liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, brethren, the context and the subject here haven't changed. You're going to see this as we go through this whole chapter, into the sixth chapter. He's still dealing with the same subject as he was dealing with and started dealing with in chapter 3, going back to the works of the flesh. What it was is they were being told now, you've been called to liberty. Now, if you want to grow and you want to grow up, now you need to start minding these things of the law, and that's going to help you grow. That's going to help you grow up into Christ. Well, the flesh loves that. That's a lust of the flesh. That's giving occasion. Now, we know it's giving occasion to the flesh if you use this gospel of liberty as an excuse to sin. As a license of sin. That's using it for an occasion to the flesh. But brethren, this thing of now saying, now we're going to leave Christ. We're going to leave how we started. And we're going to grow by starting to mind the things of the flesh. The things of the flesh. There's a paradox there. While men think that they're getting better outwardly, it's actually satisfying the lust of the flesh. And it puffs up. And that's what had happened here at Galatia. Paul said that in Colossians 2:23. He said, those things touch not, taste not, handle not, they indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship. And false humility. And neglecting the body. But they don't honor the Lord. What do? They satisfy the flesh. That's what the flesh lusts after. Anything but Christ. Now, if any are truly concerned about the law, Paul said, you really concerned about the law? You really concerned about good works and about growing in grace and knowledge and about not fulfilling the lust of the flesh? By love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Faith in Christ, we fulfill the whole law of God. But this faith works by love. Constrained how? By the Spirit of Christ. By Christ in us. By Him really constraining us. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed up with one another. He said, but if you go on giving occasion to the flesh, that's what they were doing with it. He said, And here's this leaven of the Pharisee. It always results into this. It would turn these believers from the gospel of Christ, from His works and from what He'd accomplished. And preaching just the letter, something any carnal mind can understand. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Like preaching the back half of the epistles without preaching Christ when you preach them. These letters was all written as one letter. If we're going to preach Christ, people used to accuse Brother Don of not preaching practical doctrine. You listen to his messages, he preaching practical doctrine all through his messages. But he's not sitting there just saying, check off this do and this don't, and this do and this don't, and this do and this don't. It's Christ that offends men. Christ and him crucified and him getting the glory. But the paradox is that while they think they're mortifying the sin nature and doing good work, it's fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's an occasion to the flesh. There's only one who's going to mortify our sin nature. There's only one who can do it. Only one. The same one who began this work, the same one who came and laid down his life for his people and redeemed us from the curse of the law and is risen and all his people is risen in him, who's the head of the church, who is the shepherd, the pastor, who is God, who sends his gospel where he will and speaks through the Spirit of God and ministers through the Spirit, and it's ministered into the new man. And he strengthens the new man. And you remember how this happened? He says here, verse 16. Let me get to this. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's he telling them? Walk in the Spirit. Walk the way you began, with the hearing of faith, with the hearing of the gospel. Walk depending upon the Spirit of God. Walk minding the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh. This is what's going to make a believer mortify the deeds of the flesh. Hear Christ and how he fulfilled all righteousness for you. Hear Christ and hear how he's ever present with his people. How we have access to his throne. We've been given the Spirit, not the spirit of bondage to fear. We ought never bring each other back into bondage and fear. Never. Christ freed us from it by his blood. We ought never bring each other into that again. Ever. We ought to minister the Spirit to one another. Minister the gospel to one another. Love one another. And through this gospel, you know what happened? Tell me this didn't happen to you in the first hour you heard the gospel. Spirit of God came, and you know what he did? He circumcised you in the heart. He gave you a new heart. He cut away that sin nature away and purged your conscience and made you hear the gospel. And what did he make you do? We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We didn't worship God on our own. We came to a place and read the Bible and went through the motions, but we never worshiped God. That's not worshiping God. The Spirit entered in and circumcised our heart. And for the first time in our life, we worship God. The Spirit entered the new man. And what did we do in the new man? We worship God. And then what happened? The Spirit turned you and set your affection on Christ and showed you he finished all the works for his people. He accomplished it. And he set your affection, your inward man, on Christ. And for the first time, the Spirit did that. And what happened? We rejoiced in Christ Jesus for the first time. And while that was happening, while you were in that place, you know what else happened? What the Spirit made you do? You lost all confidence in your flesh whatsoever. That's mortification of the flesh. That's it. Do we always walk in the Spirit? No, we don't. We wouldn't be told this if we did. We're not always walking in the Spirit. He wouldn't make the qualification in chapter 6 and say, you which are spiritual. We're not always walking in the Spirit. The Galatians weren't right now. They weren't. They had been turned back to mind the things of the flesh. It resulted in a bunch of bickering and biting and division. That's all it resulted in. Paul's here telling them, you're not going to get unity by more division. Unity's going to come by everybody being nobody, looking at somebody who's somebody. And stop looking at one another and look to Christ. See, when you're looking at Christ, let's say Christ is sitting right there. You're looking at Christ. You can't look at your brother, your sister. You can't look at yourself.
Mortification means treat your flesh like it's a dead thing. That's what it is. And it's by the Spirit that He goes strengthen us in our inner man so that when wicked thoughts come into your mind, sometimes right then He just turns you and you're like, I'm not thinking about that. And you think on spiritual things. Speak to one another in hymns and spiritual songs and things that edify. And He'll lead you into that. But notice this, I want to show you something here in verse 17. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. He said there in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what happened. In the very first moment that He made you behold Christ, you worshiped in the Spirit, by the Spirit. You rejoiced in Christ Jesus in the Spirit, by the Spirit. And you didn't fulfill the lust of your flesh. You didn't even have any confidence in your flesh. That was a sweet moment when you were set on Christ. You've experienced it many times sitting right here. You've experienced it listening to messages, driving down the road. You've experienced it just walking and him brings something to your mind. And he just you've experienced it. But notice verse 17. I want you to see this. What He's telling us here, the Spirit of God gets the glory for this. God's going to get the glory for this. Look at verse 17. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. Now, before I get to the point, let me just make some comments on this. The flesh is the sin nature that's in every born-again believer. You have a sin nature. So what you were born with from Adam is corrupt, it's sinful, that's all it is. And it's true that the Holy Spirit of God creates a new man within that one born of God, a new holy man, a new holy nature in regeneration. So there's a sin nature and there is a new man. And they lust. That means they intensely desire. Each of them has an intense desire. And it's against each other. Meaning they're contrary to the other. In us, in you and me who believe, there's two natures totally contrary to one another. Our new man, in our new man, we, me and you who believe, we desire holiness and hate sin. It was in the new man that the psalmist said, I hate every false way. And you know what false way he hated to begin with? This old man is in me. It was the same new man that Job said, I've seen the Lord now, I've heard him, and I abhor myself in dust and ashes. I hate my sin nature. That's actually mortification of the flesh. That's crucifixion, the flesh being crucified. When the Spirit makes you see these things and see Him. But these two natures, they're two armies that oppose each other so that there's a civil war in you. This new man desires holiness and hates sin, but this old nature desires intensely nothing but sin and hates holiness. That's in you and me, both of us. The carnal mind, Paul said, the law of spiritual, I'm carnal, sold under sin. That's me. My old man. And he just minds things of the flesh. There's a new man that just minds things of the Spirit. Now, he says, so you can't do the things you would. Now, let me talk about what he said in Romans 7. If you want to look there in Romans 7, he said, I'm just talking about now, in Romans 7, he's talking here specifically about the two natures. Now, look here, Romans 7. He says, in verse 21, he says, when I would do good, I find the law. When I would do good, evil is always present with me. When I and my new man would do good, evil is present with me constantly. All right, verse 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I do. What's the law of God? The whole Word of God. I'd like everything. The Ten Commandments, the whole law, the New Testament. It's God's Word. I delight in everything in it. But I see another principle in my members. I see it in my hands. I see it in my eyes, in my ears, in my taste, in my thoughts, in my walk. I see it in me. It's coming from my sin nature. And here's what it's doing. It's warring against the law of my mind. My inward man's focused on Christ, set on Christ. But this sin nature is warring violently against my new man. And it's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, caused by my sin nature. Captive. Now, when you're taken captive out of one country into another country, that don't mean you stop being from the country they took you from. It doesn't mean he stops being a believer. He's still a believer. But it's taken me captive. Now watch. In our text back there, now he's speaking of the two natures there. There's the I that's the sinful me. It's all me. And there's the I that's the new me. It's all me too. The sinful man in you is you, and the new man in you is you. But in our text, Paul speaks of the flesh, the sin nature, and the Holy Spirit. He doesn't talk about the old man and the new man. He talks about the sinful man and the Holy Spirit. And he's declaring what he declared at the end of Romans 7. In verse Romans 7:24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" If this thing's up to me, if it's up to me, I got a new man. He delights in the law of God, but I got a sin nature. If it's up to me, that sin nature takes me captive, and that's where I'm going to be. Amen? That's so. How am I going to be delivered from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how I'm going to be delivered. He goes on in Romans 8 and he says, the Spirit, though your body's dead, the sin nature, the Spirit will quicken you so that we, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body. Now, that's what he's telling us here in our text. He's saying the Holy Spirit is going to war against our sin nature. He's going to get the glory. He's going to get the glory. Like James said, the sin, he don't have to coerce you. He don't have to move you. He don't have to do anything to us. That's just all of us and comes from us. Every sinful thought, every sinful look, every sinful word, every sinful deed, all of it is straight from us. We get to take the credit for it. That's all we get to take the credit for. That's of us. But if we have any fruit of the Spirit and there's any mortification of the flesh, God's getting the glory for that. It's the Spirit that's warring against our sin nature. That's what he's saying. Why is he saying it that way to the Galatians? Because their whole problem was they were being told, you can do this. You've got liberty now. You can do it now. You can walk after the Spirit. Paul said, if you do, it's going to be because the Spirit of God led you. We're not going to get any glory for this at any point. This ain't a co-effort. He's going to strengthen, just like he come in and created a new man and brought you into worship, and you worshiped. You did worship. Your new man worshiped. He didn't worship for you. You worship. But who got the glory for that? Who still gets the glory for that when we worship? And the same token, if there's any mortification of the flesh done, he's getting the glory for it. Because he's the one that made us do it. Same one gave us liberty in the beginning, freed us from the condemnation of the law, from the dominion of our sin nature. Christ Jesus, ministering the Spirit to us, he's going to make us do this. He says, so walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't even fulfill this lust of biting and devouring one another anymore. He's beseeching the Galatians to continue under the hearing of the faith of Christ's works, hearing Christ's faithfulness instead of... You know the difference between these messages. You turn on a message and hear men just, they preach 20 minutes and don't say a word about the Lord and what he's accomplished. It's all about you and what you need to do. All of it's true. It's all in the Word of God. But it ain't the gospel. This is the message that he's going to bless us through rather than the leaven of the Pharisee. He's going to get the glory for it. He's going to get the glory for it. He gives us the spirit of adoption so that we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit even helps us with our infirmities so we can. Here's how he mortifies our flesh. He bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. When you don't have any assurance and you're full of doubts and your flesh is reigning over you so that you cannot pick up the book and read it. And the Spirit bears witness with that new spirit he's put in you that you're a child of God, a son of God, a joint heir with Christ. That'll take care of that doubt. Like a sunbeam coming into your heart. And you will worship him. But he gets the glory for doing it. Well, it's the same in other deeds too. Verse 18. But if you're led of the Spirit, and this is the point he keeps reiterating throughout, you're not under the law. We're not talking about here something that you're going to go back and do by your work. He keeps repeating this because that was the problem he's addressing through this whole epistle. There's no condemnation because if you're led of the Spirit, you're in Christ. You're not walking after the flesh, you're walking after the Spirit. We always live in the Spirit if we're born of God. But it's by the Spirit that we walk in the Spirit. And we're usually walking in the Spirit when we don't even know we're walking in the Spirit. If you think you're walking in the Spirit and I'm doing a real good job and I'm proud of myself today because I'm doing good, you're walking in your flesh, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You're puffed up, full of yeast. That's what he has to keep continually mortifying. It's the heart, the sin nature in us is so deceitfully wicked. We don't know it. And he has to keep working this in us. He's going to show us the works of the flesh here, verse 19. And this is what he's showing to us here now. These are the lusts that's in our sin nature right here. This is what's warring against our sin nature constantly. Some of these are in thought. Some of these are in deed. But watch this now. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're manifest. This is what we're lusting to do constantly. This is what we do in thought. Sometimes we do it in deed. They all got to be mortified. They're these. Adultery. Christ said looking on a woman is adultery. As well as the act. The thought's got to be mortified in the act. Fornication, sex outside of marriage, uncleanness, any impure thoughts, gestures, words, or deeds that are not pure. Lasciviousness, unbridled sin without shame. And then he comes to some religious sins, and this is what was included in that biting and devouring that was going on because they were turned back to their flesh and they said they were going to make something happen. Idolatry. Trying to take the place of God. Witchcraft. Paul said, you've been bewitched. Hatred. There's your something in the thought. Enmity. Unmerciful hardness. Enmity. That's all our sin nature is. And it wells up. Variance. Contentious thoughts, words, actions. Emulations. That's that bad zeal Paul spoke of earlier in the fourth chapter. It's the zeal against a rival, such as the Pharisees against Paul. Wrath, anger, boiling up, holding on to it. Strife. This is a political strife, putting self forward. Seditions, divisions, divisions. If you love the baby, you don't want to split it in half. But if you don't, split her in half. Divisions. Heresies. The word means choice. Choice. Choose whom you'll serve. The false gods on that side of the Jordan or the false gods on this side of the Jordan. They're both heresies. The Lord said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The Lord said that. Envyings at someone else being used or blessed. You being passed by. Murders. By anger. By the act. Drunkenness. We have liberty in meat and drink, but we don't have liberty in drunkenness. We can be drunk in pride. We can be drunk on Babylon's wine of Babylon's fornication, partly what he's dealing with the Galatians here, looking to themselves. Revelings, extravagant parties, wild parties into the night, and such like. That's not everything. There's a lot more. Extortion, that's a big thing. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if a sinner is not born of the Spirit of God, this is all a sinner is and all a sinner can produce. That's it. And he won't inherit the kingdom of God. Notice, though, it's an inheritance. He may not do any of these things outwardly and not be born of God. But the kingdom of God is an inheritance freely given by God. So it's, if you don't do these things, you're not going to be inherit the kingdom simply because you don't do these things. You're going to inherit the kingdom because God chose you, Christ redeemed you, the Spirit regenerated you, and you're born into the kingdom, and you're a child of God, and get a free. He gives you a free inheritance. But now, if the Spirit of God's in us, this is what every Spirit of God know. Spirit of God makes every child know and confess. We're guilty of every one of these. Every one of these. Some in thought, some in deed. Some in deed. But he's not going to allow his child to do what our flesh would do. Sometimes he does that quickly. Sometimes he doesn't do that quickly. But he's going to do that. He's going to keep his child looking to Christ and worshiping Christ and living for Christ. If he has to burn up our dross by fire, and burn up our wood, hay, and stubble by fire. He'll do that. He's going to keep us looking to Christ. He's going to chasten. He's going to cleanse. He's going to make us repent. But he's going to get the glory for doing that. He's going to get the glory for doing that. Now, the fruit. Now, you notice those were works. That's all of us. The wages of sin. We'll get paid for our works. That's all of us, the flesh. But this is fruit. This is not of us. This is of the Spirit. The fruit. It's not fruits. It's fruit. This is in every new man that he creates right here. This fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the heading of all these other fruit is love. Love. Joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Joyful and holy. Even in the midst of your worst suffering, you got the joy of knowing I'm his and he's mine. Peace. Peace with God. Blessed are the peacemakers who want peace. Long suffering. What do you have to suffer along with? Offensives. Offensive brethren and offending brethren. Long suffering. Gentleness. Goodness, faith, meekness, depending on God, waiting on God, looking to God, meekness, humility, temperance. He'll bridle your tongue from saying what you want to say. And against all these, there is no law. It keeps coming back to this. There's no law against what the Spirit of God does. We're not in the realm of law when we're talking about what the Spirit of God is going to work. We're not even in that realm. We're in the realm of faith. We're in the realm of the Spirit. We're in the realm of the constraint of Christ's love working and making us love. All this is of the Lord. Verse 24, and they that are Christ, they have crucified the affections with the lust, the flesh with the affections and the lust. Now, we have past tense in the sense that when Christ was crucified, we were crucified and our body of sin was destroyed. But this word, have crucified, is an aorist tense. It's an ongoing thing. He said there, the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit's warring against the flesh. And this is a continued ongoing crucifixion that's taking place. The flesh has many affections and lusts. It's just constantly wanting everything contrary to God. But the Spirit of God takes that inward man, and in Colossians 3:1 says, set your affection singular on things above where Christ is. That's where he puts our affection. He keeps us minding the things of the Spirit. So it says, verse 25, and that's how the affections and the lusts of the flesh are going to be crucified. The Spirit making you behold Christ, making you grow in grace and knowledge of him. And if he puts you through the river, he'll go through the river with you. You'll make it out the other side. He'll put you through the fire. He'll bring you out the other side. It's going to be painful and hurt and be the worst thing you ever went through. But that's the purpose of it. To purge everything that don't look like Christ in your new man. And make you let go whatever he would have you to let go. So if we live in the Spirit, there was some now. You know this attitude of biting and devouring at Galatia. So there's some there, and when they heard everything Paul said, they never thought of themselves. They were just thinking about somebody else. That brother over there, whatever. Because they thought themselves real spiritual. They thought themselves real strong in the faith. Paul says, now, if you are, here's your chance to prove it. Let's walk in the Spirit. That means all that middle section of religious sins that happens in our reaction to sin, I'm going to have to mortify those if I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm not going to get the glory. None of us are. Christ is. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Paul said in Colossians 2, that's what these men that are puffed up, that's what they're trying to get. They want vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's what the Pharisees were wanting. They wanted the glory in what they constrained somebody else to do. Don't let anything be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, listen to this, that brother that has offended you, can esteem him better than yourself. We really going to need the Spirit of God to do this. We are. Because that goes against everything in my sin nature. Don't be provoking one another. We to provoke to love and good work. But this thing of trying to do this thing in our flesh, using scripture like this right here, not in newness of spirit, but to whatever, for whatever reason, without pointing to Christ. That's provoking here is stirring up the sin nature by biting one another, by accusing and excusing. And it's just envying one another. So what am I to do? If a man's overtaken in a fault, brethren, you which are spiritual. Only you which are spiritual. If man's not spiritual, if you're not walking in the Spirit, he ain't fit for this. Restore him in the spirit of meekness. Restore him with what? With Christ. Restore him with love. Restore him with all the kindness and love. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, lest you also, your sin nature, break out into this pharisaical biting and devouring. Bear ye one another's burdens. How were we saved? Christ Jesus took the sin of the vilest offenders that hated him. that he was offended by and bore our burden away. Concerned about not just doing it in word, but in deed. Concerned about honoring the law. Doesn't God put us in a fix? He flips it on us. And says, bear the burden. And then you'll fulfill the law of Christ. James said, when we judge one another, we become judges of the law rather than doers of it. There's just one judge. He's able to save and destroy. What does he mean? We're judges of the law, not doers of it. This law of love, this law of Christ, we judge it not to be fitting for this situation. Instead of bearing the burden, we're going to bite till we consume. He says, bear it. Bear it. And that fulfills the love of Christ. For if a man think himself something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove, examine, test, and do his own work. I can't do your work. You can't do mine. We have to do our own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. That's, read on down the page. The Pharisees were trying to have rejoicing in what they constrained somebody else to do. Paul said, you examine yourself and you do this work yourself. And your rejoicing will be between you and Christ. What he's done for you. Because we're going to have to bear our own burden. We're going to stand before him ourselves. Each of us. Not for another. For ourselves. So he said, examine ourselves and do this. That's the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. It's through this gospel. All right, brethren. Father, we thank you for this word. Pray you bless it. Keep us. Keep us looking to Christ. Forgive us our sins. We ask it in his name. Amen.